Blog Talk Radio.
You can hear the helicopters in the background. You can hear the noise and the sounds of everyone having a great time here on the Myrtle Beach Boardwalk. This is Dr. John with Pop Culture Stars. It is the 3rd of July, and Myrtle Beach is jam-packed. It is such a great place to be. All the families having a great time. All the entertainment here in Plyler Park downtown. So we are coming to you tonight live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Jacksonville, North Carolina, and Indianapolis, Indiana, our lone outpost. We've seen a lot of people here from Indiana, actually, the last couple of weeks. So it's great having those folks down here. Todd, you may even know some. So I want to say greetings to my co-hosts, first of all, Dave Atwell. How are you doing tonight running the board for us?
That's not Dave sounding Atwell. Good.
Dave Atwell, are you there? Are you with us tonight? Well,
hey, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm here.
You're all right.
I'm ahead of the top.
Okay. how are you doing tonight, Dave?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes. It helps when you press the mute button on your phone. But no, doing fantastic. Could not be better. A lot of good news over the last 48 hours here at the Atwell Residence. I am outside enjoying a cold adult beverage and a fine La Gloria Cubana cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville. If a little breeze would kick up, it would help. But outside of that, all this global warming that Al Gore invented for us and get us these 89-degree July nights, I'm good for it. So feels bad. It's right around – it's low 80s now, but after that storm front come through, I bet you the temp dropped 15 degrees. So,
You were in the mid-70s, by the way. It dropped that fast, that hard.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm all about it. You want to throw some 70, 80-degree weather in July at me? Al Gore, you are the man. Thank you so much for your hard work.
Al, we appreciate you. You can call me Al, too. Anyway, that's great. Glad everything's going well for you, Mr. Atwell. Todd up there in Indianapolis, Indiana, how are you doing tonight?
I am outstanding and supernatural. To be the Yankee outpost of Pop Culture Stars is just living the life, guys. We are work's been just an absolute screaming madhouse, and it's a blast. It's an absolute blast. Work with some amazing people. We're pulling off some amazing stuff and digging life.
Well, that's great. Well, we're glad you're up there doing well, and you're right here with us on Pop Culture Stars. Now, I got a couple of announcements I want to get out. This is pretty exciting. First of all, we're getting ready to announce some major, major guests for the Cherokee Comic-Con, which is August the 23rd through the 25th in Cherokee, North Carolina. Can't say who they are. Got to get approvals first, but I've got some great guests lined up. It will be so exciting, and it's shaping up to be just a fine Comic-Con. A lot of folks are excited about it, and getting a lot of vendor participation and all that. So everybody check out the website, CherokeeComicCon.com, and it's going to be great. So we've got that going on, getting ready to announce next week the 3rd annual Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic-Con. And so I'm working diligently to get us a location and get us a date. It's likely going to be one of the first couple weekends in November. That's actually when we had the first one, and it worked out very, very well. So we're looking forward to having everybody there, getting back again for just a grand old time in Jacksonville, North Carolina. So you'll be able to see me, Papa Stroh, and, of course, Dave Atwell there, along with a lot of other stars and superstars of the Comic-Con world. And so we're just moving hard to get that thing lined up and ready to go. And I just got a ding, so somebody sent me a message. And I didn't get to see what it was. But anyway, that's what I've got going on. And I had another thing. I guess it'll come to me here in a minute. But I wanted to say we're coming up on July the 4th. It's a very special time This is when we celebrate. What do we say? I'm going to ask Todd, describe what we celebrate because you were in the Marines and you know. What do we celebrate here on July the 4th?
Our independence from being a colony of the Great Britain Empire. They were the kings of the world at the time. They were running the show. And a bunch of these upstarts over here found a way. Sad to say, we did have the help of the French. It's embarrassing, but we did. You got our independence, and we created the first republic. Not a democracy, boys and girls. We use democracy as a tool, but it is a republic. Just, you know, despite what our politicians and much of what they teach in school tells you. It's a lot of people paid for it. They continued to pay for it. A lot of people were either the envy of them or they want to be like us. Then there's a lot that just hate us because we are us. But no, it's best place on the planet.
Well, that's what we
most
think. We're biased, right, Dave?
Oh, yeah, for certain. Absolutely.
You know, something Dr. John said earlier, and Dave knows this, Dr. John referenced the helicopters down there. For those that haven't done it, if you've been down to Myrtle Beach, the helicopter rides are outstanding. You can get up there and get a whole different angle on it. They do a heck of a good job. But that sound of the helicopters, the ospreys and all that up there, for those that are around the New River Air Station there in North Carolina, the sound of the jets there and the big props of the Lockheed Hercules there, if you're up there by Cherry Point or any of the various air bases, that's the sound of freedom, people. There in South Carolina, we got the other part. We got a bunch of our F-18s down there for the Marine Corps. And some of the greatest sounds in the world. I do, amazingly enough, as low as those helos fly and rattle the windows on the house, I kind of miss that sound.
Well, that's it. That's interesting. We have a lot of these helicopter rides, and they're really a lot of fun. I mean, I enjoy them. I've been on one, and it was great to just see what this place looks like. No, very few people know that Myrtle Beach is an island. There are three bridges that you can come on to the island of Myrtle Beach, and this is where the city is and all the hotels and everything, the resorts. So, yes, Myrtle Beach is an island. North-South Highway 17, there are two bridges, and going toward the west is the big 501 bridge over that connects over the intercoastal waterway. So, yes, it's an island. It's a beautiful place. And I tell you what, we've got record number of people here, and they know it's a good place. So what I wanted to do is, because as usual, I am being beckoned, but I wanted to tell everybody that this week we are celebrating, or we celebrated on July the 2nd, we celebrated World UFO Day. Now, Dave, isn't that exciting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I knew you. Yeah, and so.
Out of this world.
Here's what we did. On July the 2nd, we taped a special scary cast with Spencer Fisher. He is a martial artist, former number two in the world. He's got a martial arts school up in Silva, North Carolina, very near where the Cherokee Comic-Con is going to be. And we talked about the possibility of luring UFOs to come visit us with something called the CE5 Protocol of Dr. Stephen Greer. And it has to do with shining laser lights up in the sky. It has to do with sounds. And it also has to do with meditation. Now, some people have actually been able to do this. And it always infuriates the non-believers when it happens. But we talked with him, and we had a great hour-long discussion. So the ScaryCast this week, it's already up. You can enjoy it at ScaryCast.com. And it is an interview with Spencer Fisher from Silva, North Carolina. Very interesting, really nice guy, really sharp guy, and I think you'll enjoy it. So that's at ScaryCast.com. Now, gentlemen, I am being beckoned again. I have to get back to the boardwalk, but I'll be back for a lot longer next week. We won't be in the throes of the 4th of July week here in Myrtle Beach, which is the busiest. It's about the busiest place on the East Coast right now. So if you guys will excuse me, I'm going to head on back up there to the boardwalk, try to keep everything going smoothly, and wait for Elvis is going to be singing tonight. So can't miss that.
All right. Well, man, be safe.
Right,
tell him I'm a born in love.
I will, and Dave Atwell, remember, we've got a Friday afternoon conference call. So I'll be talking to you soon, and everybody else, Godspeed. Papa Stro, you're on assignment obviously somewhere, and Liz, I hope you're going to get out here soon. So thanks a lot, and I will sign off from the beautiful boardwalk of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Cheers.
Be safe out there.
Have a good night. Happy 4th there, Chief. All right. So here we are down to David and Todd.
Yeah,
chewing a fat.
Who, brother?
Well,
chewing the fat is right, man.
I told myself tonight I was going to try to keep things from being too politically skewed, okay? But, you know, when we talk about
I get the feeling that ain't going to last long.
Yeah. And despite what we have going on today, and despite the fact that people think that we are just crashing towards Earth, you know, the United States, say what you want, okay? Carry on what you want, but if you ever take the opportunity to shut up and look at things in black and white, remove the emotion from your thoughts, okay, and how many times we've talked, Todd, about there's two type of decisions you make in your life, business decisions and emotional decisions. An emotional decision is, God, man, she's awful hot. A business decision is she's hot, but she doesn't come home at night, and I don't need that. You see what I'm saying? So you've got to have that ability to differentiate between the two. Are there opinions out there now about immigration and abortion and public assistance and foreign affairs, blah, blah, blah? Absolutely. But those things have been present for the 200 some odd years that we have been a nation. And
you're not saying that that's anything but an anomaly, are you? That's not exactly an anomaly. Yeah.
The subjects might have changed, and the countries that we're having issues with might have changed, but here's the thing about America. Number one, and I'll go ahead and preface it right off the bat. If we were in such bad shape, why is everybody fighting to come here? All right. And not only, I use the term fighting as a generalization, but Todd, these people walk for miles. And when I say miles, I'm not talking walking from here to Scotchman and making a beer run for cigarettes. I'm talking they don't sleep in beds for months, and they lay in the grass and sleep, and they get up the next day and walk to get to this nation. So how many people are trying to break into Portugal right now? How many people are trying to break into Rwanda right now? How many people are trying to break into the Czech Republic right now? You don't see that. So obviously we are on to something, despite the popular belief that we're all falling to pieces. So not to take over the entire show, but to kind of break things open, Todd. For one thing, like I said, not only are people trying to get in here, but let's take a look at some of the stuff that everybody in this planet now benefits from. And I'll start with telephones, automobiles, locomotives, cotton gins. What do all those have in common, Todd? Help me out. They're all American-born.
Some independent minds, entrepreneurs. It wasn't just so much the automobile, but a way to put it together cost-effective and get it out to the masses. And, oh, by the way, you're employing some of them at the same time. But it's independent minds that are – and here's the best part. A lot of that stuff happened with pre-teachers unions. I'm just going to throw that out there. Not, to show you my thing for the school of thought, when people were learning Latin and reading, writing, and arithmetic, as they used to say.
Right.
But there was controlled governmental regulations for stuff. And some of the safety stuff we definitely could have used, but some of the safety stuff today, you ask, it's a little bit impractical, but these were independent minds in a system, in a place that they were encouraged to do these things, to grow, because there was opportunity, there were benefits of actually having the initiative to do that.
Absolutely. And, for me, I look, and again, if you take the emotion out of it, you've got to identify the genius, the risk, and the desire that was put into place to start this nation. And, I've said on here before, I challenge folks to read about Thomas Jefferson. And don't read about where he was born and when he died and how he was, the president of the United States. No, read about Jefferson. Read about the man and read some of the things that he talked about, how he predicted, everybody talks about Nostradamus being able to predict the future. If you read about Thomas Jefferson, some of the stuff that gentleman said back in the late 1700s, was absolute genius, and it applies to our world today. And, for me, he is probably one of the greatest Americans. If I had to go ahead and, if I was given the task to pick my top three, Jefferson would certainly be in the top three. And, read his stuff and apply it to some of the things today. He talks about corruption in the banks. He talks about, corporate. I mean, this is a colonist now who's talking about corporate corruption, talking about the responsibilities of men, how lesser government can be achieved by a higher, greater responsibility by the individual. And,
individual responsibility. Boy, you're going to hurt some damn feelings tonight, aren't you?
Well, again, while I take a long drag off this cigar here, I don't have to be told a speed limit because I know a safe speed. I don't have to be told... And let me go ahead. Let me even get a little further into that. Okay, we have had to make laws. And again, what's a law? A law is basically, I'll put it to you this way. Any law outside of the Ten Commandments, okay, let it be where it lies. But to have a law written to tell people you will get a ticket for texting and driving.
Oh, please. See, that now, all right.
But you see what I'm saying? Damn, personal responsibility.
Be...
You know? And those were...
And sagacity. I mean, and, you know, there's no reasoned thinking today. And these people, they don't... Man, it's a hot mess. It's a part of the stuff that they're taught. But, yeah, there's no personal responsibility. Nobody has the idea of consequences for your actions or is a...
Absolutely.
It's saying it's a forgotten concept. People tend to forget about all that kind of stuff for some reason. You got to take responsibility for your own actions, and people got to be able to be reasonable, and that's long out of just concepts. They don't think things through. It doesn't happen.
And, you know, where was a lot of legislation born of? Out of irresponsibility by the populace. And, you know, that's where we've got to stop and we've got to check ourselves and say, hey, perhaps I am full of it here and I need to improve. I mean, one of the first things that comes to mind is, and I'll throw something out there just out of nowhere, is like fishery laws. Okay, I remember, good Lord, what was that noise? Something came out of the woods. One of John's UFOs, I guess. But the fisheries industry, all right? Yeah, I've spoken many times about how me and my brother back in the day used to ride our bikes out to Broad River there running by Paris Island, and we'd go crabbing. Nowadays, they come out and measure your crabs. You have to have a permit. You have to have this. You have to have that. Why is that? It's because we don't do the responsible thing. Back in the day, you would go out there, fish up enough to feed your family for the evening, and go home. But now the big thing to do is to go out and try to get everything you can, sell it off, and then live easy. In the meantime, they had to legislate that. They had to put a clamp on it. Why? Because we weren't being responsible in our actions.
No,
one example.
Take your little kids out crabbing. You know, you buy the applicable licenses and stuff like that. I don't mind some of the resource money going back in there, that kind of stuff. But the whole thing was, you could come back, and they went yesterday, and the best part was when they were smaller by a mile. But the fact that they could have some of the crab that they caught themselves, and what a cool thing, or teach them how to do the cleaning of it, or when you're throwing the cast net for the shrimp, teach them how to clean that stuff and prepare it and do it, and they're learning respect for the stuff, and they're learning, you know, if you get this other thing in the net, what it is, and why, you know, how to properly release it, and stuff like that. Or, hey, this is actually a bait fish because we got one line out there hoping to grab something off to the side. Shit. Dave, I can still remember Connor's face with her first flounder. It was undersized.
Right.
She couldn't keep it, that kind of thing. But you know what? She caught her first flounder. And it went back in the water to get bigger.
Absolutely.
Not one of those, you know? She didn't get to keep it because it was her first flounder. She had to release it and respect, you know, respect. It wasn't big enough, you know, for the effort. Sure, maybe for the cat, but that would have been, you know, that would have been pointless. Here's another thing. When you're out crabbing and you know you caught the female that's full of eggs.
Absolutely. You must have been reading my mind. That was one of the first rules that I learned from my parents when they taught me how to go crabbing. Is that if it looked like a Washington Monument, it went in the cooler. If it looked like a pyramid, it went back in the water. No question. it wasn't explained. It was just told, hey, this is what you do. The pyramids are the females. The females are the ones that make more crabs. Whoop, they go back. Now, granted, there's not the immaculate conception with crabs. You guys still have males in there, but you don't keep the females.
Yeah, and silly question. I just want to throw this out there. It's going to go over. I know it's a tangential, but I think you can't miss. Were you in Okinawa at all? What's your pops?
No, negative. Never made out to Hanson or any of those.
Okay. I just found it's interesting that their traditional tombs are kind of designed to be like entry to the womb routine or whatever, they get swole bell or whatever. And that's very much the way I think of the female crabs. The shape, and then especially when the egg things come, you know, when they get full of the eggs and they get that big mass, it you know, and it extends, and it's just, so stinking neat.
Well, if you've ever caught a female crab and cooked one and had to clean it, when you crack that thing open, it's a hot mess. So not only are you looking at, you know, hey, save yourself on the labor, but for God's sake, you know, it was a responsible thought. It was a responsible principle. It was not a law, but it was a responsible principle to keep the species abundant. You caught what you needed.
Yep.
You left the females alone. And, you know, it's just, to me, is if, and it'll never happen in our lifetimes, and it may never happen again. It's personal responsibility, doing the right thing when people aren't watching.
There's a big part of it. But you know, Dave, I'm going to throw in another part. It's parents taking the time to do that with their kids.
That is true.
We've got more households now where both parents are working.
Yeah, all kinds of odd hours.
They've got less time with the kids. That's an impact for starters. It just is. That's huge. And then you put it to a single parent household, it's a hells of a lot harder than that dual parent household with both of them working. You know, and you've got all these things where there's just less quality time. They won't make the time to take the time. There were times, you knew the crazy schedules we were working when I was back there, and you know, sure, I'm a so-called Monday through Friday now, but I'll tell you right now, the last 3 days, I've been, I don't know, something like 34 hours at work. It's just the way it is. It was worth it. That's when people come back from that kind of stuff, boy, they need some time to unwind, stuff like that. And then, you know, you're all set. You're going to get ready to go to bed and stuff. Because me, for example, I get up at 3:45. Holy crap, you got to find a way to make time to take time. You know, that little stuff where you're like, you know what? I've got 3.5 hours. We can throw together some water in a cooler, a little bit of ice. What bait I don't have stashed in the freezer from, you know, previous trips or whatever, I'll bring my cast net. We'll get out there. We'll do it. We'll just spend a couple hours together outside. It's pretty. It's nice. And, you know, if we catch stuff, it's awesome. And it's a day, you know, and I'm trying to teach and pass on what I know so that they can have that skill for the future and the knowledge. But it's, you know what? It's a, outside breathing, they're away from damn, you know, they're not sitting in front of a damn laptop, you know, IMing and stuff like that. Sure, they're still doing it with the cell or whatever, but it's the coolest thing when they catch that fish or they catch whatever, you know, they get the crabs or whatever, and they can sit there and they can and you see them sharing that with friends, and you're like, and you see some of the reactions from some of their tribe, we're like, what is that? How's that? How did you get to do that? Where did you learn that? It's people
right.
taking the time to make the time.
Right. And here in the States, we have the ability and the blessing to do so. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of countries out there that either the resources aren't available or, again, the over-legislated slash I'm not going to particularly name any type of particular government structure, but a more controlled, if you will, society when it comes down to brass tacks, you know, whether you're being told when you have to be inside and how much toilet paper you get for the week and everything else. You know, that's what makes this country a wonderful thing, you know. Now, with that being said, to kind of turn things a little to the left or right, because, you know, we got to carry this for a little bit longer. But let's go back, and I'm going to say something that's probably going to be unpopular, but nevertheless, again, it's a black and white call. It's history, and that's what I want to touch on. All this erasing of history. Okay.
Oh man.
You know, if it's right, you need to be reminded because it gives you the things to repeat. Okay. But if it was wrong, you need to be reminded because it gives you the things not to repeat. And
ta-da. Let me ask you a question, and we go back to this a lot, go figure, and we all have, I hate to say it, we all have too much personal experience with this particular beauty. The whole, man, we have all managed to learn from our experiences, and we learn from
correct.
Bad experiences. And a big thing about that routine is, I hate to say it, because we keep our bad experiences, and I'm not talking about getting bitter about them or saying, woe's me, especially if we were dumbassing it at that particular moment, pulling one of the, hey, y'all, watch this, psst, hold my beer. You know, instead of taking ownership, that personal responsibility, we sit there and we learn, well, I had best learn to do that dumbass thing again.
Right.
That it tends to help to have that attitude.
You know, you've been around me and Rob enough, and you know that I've told them it's a mistake the second time you do it. All right? The first time you do it, you're learning. And I don't care if you're 80 some odd damn years old, you're still learning. Every day you learn something. It's the moment you quit learning is when you need to check out. So we've done things in our past that aren't, you know, we've invaded countries we shouldn't have messed with. We've had, you know, policies in place for God's sake, you know, women, minorities couldn't vote. You know, what kind of garbage is that, for crying out loud? We were better than that, but we were growing as a nation, and we were learning. Does that mean we need to tear down every George Washington statue in the country? No, it doesn't. What we have to do is remember the things that we've done wrong. Remember the things we've done correct, and repeat those and make damn certain that we don't repeat the errors. Okay, so let me go ahead and take
the what if. How are you going to do lessons learned if you don't remember the lessons?
Correct. You know, yeah, put it this way. if you touch the hot stove and doesn't burn your hand and it doesn't scar you, what are you going to do tomorrow? The memory of that pain and that scar on your hand will remind you not to touch a hot stove. Okay? If you've ever had the pleasure of going through a divorce, for the audience out there who's been through a divorce, if you stop and really do a black and white analysis of it, take the emotion out of it and say, hey, that day I said this, this day I did that, I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't the right thing to do. Okay? And you apply that to who you are now, guess what you've become? A better person. You haven't lifted any weight. You haven't read any books. You've just become a better person by not repeating a wrong. All right? And God bless this nation that gives us the opportunity to learn, because there are nations, past, present, and future, that one slip, and that's it. You're done. All right? So with that being said, I'll hit the what if tangent here. What if the United States, or the colonies, better yet, I'm sorry, had the colonies lost the revolution? Okay. Now, we already know. As a matter of fact, anybody who's listening to this right now is benefiting from something called electricity. That was not invented, but somewhat garnered by Ben Franklin. All right. Now,
yeah, I like the whole thing, like he invented lightning, right?
Yeah, he invented lightning. And God and Mother Nature are going, excuse me? But, again, where would have Franklin ended up had we lost, first off, any name on the damn Declaration of Independence?
Oh, my God. Think of all those minds that would have been executed.
Okay. And, again, I use the term wasted, because not only are they geniuses in United States history, but they're geniuses for the world. Their thoughts. I mean, the things that they have said, the things that they have done, the things that they have set forth is absolute genius. Okay. So everything here about democracy, everything that we're doing here in the United States, everything we did the first 100 years of our existence was wrong. We were too busy putting the screws to every person on the planet, and we did this wrong, we did that wrong, we need to tear this down, we need to tear that down, we can't put this up, we can't put that up. Okay, check. Where do you think we would be right now if the colonies would have lost the revolution? You know, we would be under British control. Okay? Because before the American Revolution, the British were wailing on everybody's ass. The British Yes. And do you honestly, the only thing that put the Brits in check was the American Revolution. Because all of a sudden they stopped and said, wow, these guys, these farmers, as the jolly Brits used to, you know, call the colonists, these farmers, these lowlifes, have beaten us. And so British control, go back and look at some of the colonization practices of the British. And I'm not trying to throw the British under the bus on this. That's not my point. But if you look at other colonization attempts that the British made over the years, and what is it? There's only like 8 countries in the entire world that the British haven't invaded at one time or another. They practice genocide. They practice slavery. They practice all kinds of stuff like that. So in the event that we did not win the revolution, the United States would be a British colony. It would be a big chunk of British Empire, would it not? You disagree with that?
Let's go under the premise of the hurt that it caused them when they lost us, we can only assume they would have continued to keep growing. So we'll run on that premise. So,
right.
Yeah, generally speaking, we would be one form of a proxy. We'd be,
right.
You know, Great Britain West.
And do you honestly think that the British, had they won the revolution and began to push west, okay, do you think they would have stopped at California? Do you think they would have stopped at Texas? I don't think so. I think they would have pushed further south. And again, I think they would have pushed further south, and there would have been a huge meltdown between Spain and Great Britain. And
don't forget Portugal.
Who knows what would have happened. But you see where I'm heading with this is there's a certain amount of blessing that came with the victory. You know what I mean? A lot of lives were lost. A lot of things happened. And yes, we've made mistakes as a young country. But didn't you make mistakes when you were a child? Yes, you did. You know, when you stole that pack of gum from the store and your dad dragged you back in there and embarrassed the hell out of you, you know what? You didn't steal anything again. So
give me a couple moments and we're going to bring up taxes. I'm going to try to say something I'm doing. And I want to bring something up. I saved the tab earlier. That really
and
just,
taxes is a fantastic example, Todd, because
taxes.
you think you drop us some taxes now? Be under colonial rule. Be under British rule. I mean, and to be honest with you, the Brits were run by the monarchy prior. It was after their defeat that they finally started looking at things and said, hey, perhaps we need to do what they're doing. You know, and it just, to me, it's, again, it's not an opinionated thing. It's a factual thing. One of two forces were going to win the American Revolution, the colonies or the British. We all know how it worked out when the colonies won, because that's where we're at right now. But had the British won, okay, how would all of that, you've got the French to the north in Canada, and they didn't have that strong of a presence in Canada, all right? And then you had the Spanish in Central America. You know, do you think the Brits would have stopped at that? Hell no, they wouldn't have.
British influence up there, too. You know, there's a reason we call the one place British Columbia. But,
That's true.
I'm just saying there's a reason that's called that. I'm going to get on my taxes bullshit.
Go ahead.
All right. You know, people don't even think about this shit. You know where you're at in your state right now, according to MSN Money, just so I quote my source. Average taxes paid as a part of your income are 19.6% average. 19.6%.
So every 20 cents of a dollar you make.
That's
people have lost their damn mind because they've lost the bubble on how much taxes we're paying. We are losing our freaking minds. Okay? The that is a place, you know, I love the hells out of that. Yuki and I just had a great conversation a couple nights ago about where we ultimately want to retire. We love the coast there. It's freaking spectacular. And we talked about the difference between county taxes. Am I allowed to say county? I don't want to. Okay, the county my family lives in, which is the same county as you live in, and the one where the next door to us that has all the tourism there by, we'll just say where that one Comic-Con is. The first Comic-Con I went to support you, the county that holds the Mac Daddy Comic-Con, just so I'm not naming the county name. Yeah. I was trying not to say the name.
Sorry.
The their property taxes, check that versus property taxes. And, well, since you opened the door, versus Onslow County. That's a health of a thing.
Yeah.
We were looking at, there was this thought process that Ohio might even be an option. They're paying 26.9% as an average. I was like, holy crap. And then I was like, let me look where I'm at. And I was like, up here we're paying 20.8. Well, that ain't a massive difference versus North Carolina. But still, I mean, you look at some of these taxes involved. That's freaking ridiculous, dude.
Why does the tax go that way, though? Because the tax funds legislation. And again, I feel that in the event that people had more personal responsibility, there would be less legislation and less need for tax to fund it. Now, I'm all about taxing for defense in the military, because if you don't have defense to me is the core. If you don't have defense,
I'm with that. You can. I'd love to tell you can't spend too much, but how you spend it is smart. So that's another conversation. But yeah, you feel like you can't afford them until you need them. Let me throw this out there. You want to know why Russia did as well as they did in World War II? You really want to know the backstory? It's because they had the largest reserve on the planet at that point, largest trained reserve. Now, mind you, they had the purge with their officers and all this stuff going on. But the point is, they had a ton of folks. They had a double ton of folks that had at least some military training.
Correct.
And so their major population had at least some, and some of it was outmoded and they had to work on all that kind of thing. And they were able to take all these people that had at least some training and keep throwing them into the meat grinder. And as they got better and they got some, but the T-34s got getting rolled out, stuff like that. That made all the difference in the stinking world.
And defense isn't only a guy picking up a rifle. Defense is a guy that can operate, the guy who can fix work on a tank. Defense are people who make ammunition. You know, you don't have to be G.I. Joe, so to speak, to be part of the defense mechanism. You know what I mean? And everybody,
the military industrial complex
You know,
employs
a
lot of people.
You know, again, the defense. Look how many times France, and I'll throw France out there just to be a weenie. How many times has France been invaded in history? Not just like in the last 200 years. I'm talking in history. How many times have they, I mean, they've been swatted back and forth. How just an ungodly amount of times over the course of history. All right. Defense. Again, defense. What good is owning a home if you don't lock your doors? What is locking your doors? It is defense. You know what I mean? It's keeping the bad guys out of your house when you're away and when you're there. So you turn your locks at night. What's wrong with turning the locks on the nation? And when I say turn the locks on the nation, I don't mean the border thing and all that mess. I mean a strong defense. So I have absolutely no problem with tax money going into defense. Because it starts there. If you can't defend your nation, then you don't have. That's the thing that kills me about all these people that carry on about the climate and endangered species. Hey, I don't want to see the American bald eagle go extinct. Hell no, I don't want to see that happen. Very majestic, beautiful bird that puts a damn mist in my eye every time I look at one. Okay? It's on our currency. It's on, you know, anything American, for God's sake. There's that bald eagle. All right? They're an endangered species. What makes them endangered is taxpayer dollars. The ability to say, do you honestly think a bald eagle stands a chance in war-torn countries? Do you think if there's a, you know, in rogue states and everything, some of these countries that have been, you know, in the midst of a civil war for years and years and years, you know what a bald eagle is? It's chow. It's dinner. So, you know, it's who leads the charge in the environmental thing? The United States. How do we do it? It's because we are the United States. Any other country in history. Because let me tell you, and Todd, I don't mean to take it over, and you butt right on in whenever you're good and ready. But every country, every society, every culture, no matter what word you want to attach to it, we've had, you know, we learn in social studies, has had the opportunity to do what we've done. And they haven't done it. There are countries on this planet, and I'll say the word country loosely, there are places on this planet where people still live in holes. They live in lean-tos. They live in the woods, for God's sake, okay? That have recorded history long before the United States became a nation, all right?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Just a thought, one of my many brilliant tangents, you were referencing getting invaded and stuff like that. I have to laugh. We had one of our guys, and he is the equivalent of a lieutenant colonel with his GS pay grade. I referenced him last week. He was a guy that tugged at the bottom of my shirt that I told him I walked in there and said, "Hey, sir, I'm counting that as action." At my age, and he's got a white flag on his desk in reference to certain things. And I would go by his office. I say, "Hey, why you got a French flag on your desk?"
Oh,
again, the white.
Nice. The surrender.
I sure did. And he just,
I told him that I referenced him on the podcast last week. I said, but I left the names out of it, you know, protect the innocent, that kind of thing. And he was dying. He was like, man, that he goes, that was so damn funny. He goes, that's 7 o'clock in the morning. And we were talking that type of garbage. He goes, it just made my day better because I know we can, we will have some serious, sometimes energetic and spirited conversations. But he knows what we're working for, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to pull off. It's amazing. But yeah, he's up there. He's a stinking GS-14 that walking. Hey, sir. What's with the French flag on your desk? I told this story before, but since we're here on July 4th, some of the listeners may remember, and I know Dave will remember this eventually. So just a little over a year ago, I got up here, and the seasonal fireworks store showed up. So I knew for July 4th, I was going to go over to Cincinnati. I was going to go see Kyle and Stephanie and their little man, Cameron. And he was coming up on 2 years old. And I'm thinking, man, for July 4th, I'm going to be the awesome, you know, if not weird, grandpa and uncle. And I'm going to show up with sparklers and snappets. And we're going to get some of those little snakes that go out. And, you know, hey, the one thing said they have different colored snakes. Man, we got to get some of those. That's cool for a little kid. We'll get a couple Roman candles and maybe some of those things that spin bright out there in the, you know, that you throw out in the driveway type thing.
Right.
You know, just so, you know, do some bright color and stuff like that. So I go over to this seasonal fireworks joint and they tell me, oh no, we can't, you know, my receipt machine's not working, but I can email you a receipt. So I'm like, cool. So I sit there and the prices were not horrific. They were not as bad as the ones for those that are familiar with North Carolina rules. When you go to South Carolina, I want to get some real boom booms and bang bangs and, you know, some stuff that other than fountains.
Right.
Right at the border, the prices are a tad high. You get in a wee bit, the prices drop a lot. You can't blame a place for trying to make a profit. It works.
They're trying to do their part.
So I picked up, like, I want to say it was like $15.62 or so of odds and ends, cute stuff, fireworks-wise. I pull that stuff out. I put it and lay it out on the table. Send a picture to Gary and my son, and they say, "Dude, look what I got for $15.62. Awesome." And then it occurs to me, man, I had to look for that receipt. I go out, you go through my email. It ain't there. I go into my junk email. Ah, there it is. Wait a minute. What's the return address on that email? The boom boom room. I was like, oh, this is going to go over well with the wife. So I throw it in my inbox. I might as well get in front of this freaking thing because I already sent the picture to Gary. And I'm like, do you think the wife will ever look at the $15.62 and say, how much trouble could it be got into? Not just no, but hell no.
Yeah.
I already knew what her response was going to be, and it sure was. What the hell's a boom boom room? And what were you doing there? Look, for $15.62, clearly I wasn't doing much. But the boom boom room was not what you think it was.
That was the one saving grace. There are only $15, you know.
The hell with Star Trek, the Kobayashi Maru is real. The no win scenario is absolutely real. I kid you not. Wow.
The boom boom room forever will be etched in our memories because that was. And hey, hats off to those guys for knowing. And again, there's another part of America. Somebody went out, started a firework business, called it the boom boom room, and let it be. If we were in a different form of government, it would be called fireworks distributor, and you would be issued fireworks according to the populace. And, you know, there you go. So if it wasn't for this fabulous
thing,
we would not have the boom.
You're absolutely right. I could not have voluntarily, in another country, I could not have voluntarily gone in there and got my ass in a sling with the wife. No,
absolutely
only
not.
Here could I pull that off and really doing it with the best of intentions. What do they say? Good intentions pave what? Sure enough,
you know,
true story. You can't make this crap up.
Which brings up a good point. If you were to go back to Victorian age England, which is a mere, 120 years ago? Jack the Ripper era? 120, 125, 130 years ago? To speak against the Queen was a hangable offense. Okay? It was not only hangable, and I use that word, you know, hangable. It was deemed as treason and an executable, better yet, offense to speak against the monarchy. All right?
Oh, yeah, because somebody has been hanged does not mean they are hung. I just thought I should go ahead and clarify that.
Yeah, because, I mean, we all think we're hung until we're hanged, right? So
exactly.
But, again, that's 130 years ago. So had we lost the American Revolution, we would be under that control. So with that being said, let's go ahead and dig into today's celebrity and entertainment industry. Kathy Griffin shows the severed head of Donald Trump, okay? Okay, she's publicly shamed on social media, and she can't get gigs. Oh, my goodness. Oh, shucks. Oh, fiddly sticks. She might have to go get a job at Taco Bell with the rest of us. Ain't that a bitch? Under monarchy, had she had a severed head of the Queen and posted on social media, guess where she would have been? On the gallows. No defense, no questions asked.
Okay.
And
let me throw this out there where it's parallel real quick. You want to go through the, I believe it was the Sex Pistols.
Oh, yeah.
And lyrics to one of their own song. You don't want
to
go with this, right?
Right.
Right there near the Queen's birthday. And look at the flack that happened, the record label that wanted to carry him. Hell, there's conspiracy theories about that shit right now.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, because I can't remember the name. It was something to do with the Queen. But, and again, though, it's a perfect example of what I'm getting at, is that had we not...
Exactly.
So, when you want
they
to
were
piss
economically
on our...
And way the hell worse than old Kathy had thought.
Absolutely. So you want to carry on about what we've done in the past. And I don't agree with everything we've done in the past. But I also understand that those things right there that have happened are what have brought us to this moment now.
This crap that they do with the past erasing pieces, part of it is how they get revisionist history. The people that complain, a certain group of people that will complain about how long it took them to get the right to vote, are loyal to a party that voted right up until then. It was the other party that gave them the right to vote.
Absolutely.
They don't understand that the party that they're loyal to, they don't even realize that part of history.
And they're loyal to the party that's been against them and trying to take advantage of them, in my mind. That's insane.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. So,
I'm waiting for copies of the congressional record to disappear. Because, man, there is knowledge in there. How do I know about the congressional record? Yeah, I spent a lot of time in detention copying that freaking thing, writing it down. That's what they made us do. You're going to read the congressional record. You're going to copy it. And we need X number pages, X number words per line. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and again, you know, my point is not to, you know, to bash British society and culture and everything. That's not my point. My point is, though, we would have been part of a monarchy. And a monarchy, because do you honestly think if they had won the revolution, that they would have changed, would have stopped and said, hey, you know what, these colonists got a point about this whole democracy thing? No, it still would have been a monarchy, and they would have continued on. So a monarchy,
well,
not only controls...
We know maybe we wouldn't have been the catalyst for some of the other changes that happened later. But I have to believe something would have happened. It's just because.
But think about the amount of resources that this country has, okay? The amount of resources, and I'll use it all, coal, oil, lumber, and the livestock, for Christ's sake, you know? Do you honestly think that the British would not have exploited that worse under a monarchy than what they would have as we did as a democracy? I say no.
We did as a what? As a what?
As a democracy or a republic.
Nope.
Sorry.
Wrong.
Where was I wrong?
I take it you feel properly, Jess. I hope you have a sheepish look on your face.
I'm kind of like, huh?
Yeah, I know. Actually, I heard, damn him. He heard it. He picked up on it. Damn him.
But.
I know. That's what happened. You know what? Boy. If people are crapping over our conversation now, they'd crap when we were at work and talking.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're not geniuses, and I'm not trying to berate either one of us. We're regular guys, and we are Americans, and we understand and cherish our blessings. We understand and cherish our mistakes. And
yeah.
We have the ability
lessons
not to screw
learned,
up at the same time, you know,
lessons
and
learn.
I hear. And even
if
religion,
you, learn,
you know, I'll throw religion out there real quick. All right. There'd be no, option. Whether you're Baptist, Methodist, or anything, under a monarchy, you'd have followed what the queen said, or the king, be it may. And
pretty much.
Yeah, they'd have told you exactly how to digest religion, be it through, you know, Christ or Muhammad or anybody else. And
people tend to forget how many... You know, they act like because we were British colonies that it was just organically Brits that were here. That shit is pretty freaking wrong. Do they remember who it was, who the pilgrims were? I'll point out that, were they Brits? Were the pilgrims Brits?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, no, absolutely not. They were French. They were Spanish. They were Irish.
Danish. Well, the pilgrims were Dutch. The pilgrims were the Dutch, right? Weren't they Dutch running from their own religious prosecution?
That is true. So, yeah, I mean, going back, what
I
was saying
recall,
about the
recall, but I mean, it's just from the beginning. It was people that came out here, and they had, sure, they had a broad conceptual common thing, but generically, one of the things that bound them, and you referenced it earlier, and you had all these different fallouts based on the thing, but generally, everybody at the time was primarily had a take on the Ten Commandments as a baseline.
True.
And probably because they're functionally, morally, a decent set of rules to live by. I would add some of Jacob McCandle's basic rules to it, you know. I'll not lay a man hand on another man, and he'll not lay one on me, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, to the resources conversation, though. Think about it now, and I'm sure you're probably better, and yet, pardon me as I go in and replenish my adult beverage supply here. It's funny. A good thing we don't do like the Jetsons version of this, where people actually see us in action, where we're walking back and forth to the woods and relieving ourselves and going to get another drink.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, thanks for that visual, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, America great.
Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. Let me ask why you're doing that. Do you still have that one same nosy neighbor?
Yeah, actually, I got you on the speaker, so let's keep it low.
A little late now. Okay, no, I was just laughing because you referenced relieving yourself in the woods. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's going to make her night. God,
it usually does. Of course, now my son has joined me in said practice, so we've kind of warned everybody, hey, look, if you see us out there in the woods, just don't bother. We're okay. We're not.
You know, the best part is that big boy there, we're going to have even more Bigfoot sightings there in the county.
You ain't lying, especially the way he walks. You should have seen him at graduation. Dale says, I said, there's Rob right there. She says, which one? I said, the one walking like a damn Sasquatch.
I kid you not, that big boy, oh my God, we're going to so get away from the resources and stuff. We're going to start talking about Rob. Dude, how much fun was it that we were doing the Jack's Con? You remember we were at another con. I referenced it earlier. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to reference where I hurt them. I was in there. I was poaching. Do you remember when I did that?
Yes.
I poached David and his crew. And, oh, man, was that not one of the greatest moves ever? And then we were prepping the Jack's Con, and we were sitting there, and David and Rob talking about the firefighting stuff. And I was like, dude, I never saw this coming when I started the conversation with David, because the boss there just
blew me off, threw me over to David, and David and I just talked for a few minutes, and we were like, flying, we were there. We had the wavelength, right?
And
David, love you, brother. David, brother, and you, your crew, we love you. We love you a ton, but watching you and Rob, you sitting there mentoring Rob, and he had effectively just met us.
Yeah.
That was so awesome, dude. It was unreal.
And again, where were comms invented at? Right here in America. They didn't have Comic Cons in Uganda. They didn't have Comic Cons in Russia. They had them here. And to see Rob grow up to be the man that he is now and able to steer his path. Hey, I dig the firefighting thing. That's what I want to do. He wasn't told from birth what he was going to be. You know what I mean? And he's turned out to be a fine young man. And, you know, and just like your son, for crying out loud, when you told him, you remember that conversation we had, and thank Christ it was out of public view when you told me that Carrion enlisted. We got all busted up, man. I mean, for crying out loud. And when he came in and you know, come in and saw the two of us, you saw me. I was shaking his hand. It was all I can do to keep my damn stature because this young man had become his own man. And he wasn't a knucklehead. He was a responsible young man that's going to make responsible young children. And, you know, and you've heard me a million times about Rob. I never cared for every parent who beats the hell out of their kids over their grades. Hey, if the guy has the ability to say yes, sir, no, sir, hold doors open for little old ladies, and tries to do good, tries to make a concerted effort to do the right thing, you know what? Amen. Because he's going to be good at whatever he does, and he is going to make people, he is going to force people around him to be good just by his example that he's setting. And, you know, your children, my children, both. We aren't fantastic parents. And by God, if anybody wants to follow my rules of engagement on parenting, good luck. Okay? But in the end, if there's one issue I did push with my son, was you will be a good person. I don't give a damn if you bring home a D. I don't give a damn if you come home and, you know, hey, I got busted for chewing gum in class. You know, that's fine. As long as you are doing good. And what was funny, the funny story, Todd, now that we got off on that, he went over, you know, last year he was working for the school, helping them in the summertime, you know, doing moving desks and all that good stuff. I drove him over there Tuesday to go pick up his, today's Wednesday, it was Monday when I drove him over there to the high school to pick up his diploma. And the school principal was in shorts and sneakers and was moving filing cabinets. Now, here's the guy in charge of the school moving filing cabinets. And he looked at Rob and he says, buddy, I like this a whole lot more when you were here. I miss you. And when he said that, I just kind of had one of those moments where I was like, okay, stay cool. Don't blame it on seasonal allergies. You'll be all right. Don't blow up here. But it just proved to me that no matter how short or how far ahead I was in the parenting ranks, that I must have done something right. Because he was missed by the top man in that establishment. And by God, mission accomplished. You know what I mean? I could drop dead in the spot right here, and I know that Rob, just like your two children, you know if you drop dead tonight that the two of them were going to be fine. And
we got something right somehow.
But we had the opportunity, you know what I mean? And God bless this country. God bless the opportunity. And God bless the blessing. You know what I mean? Somehow or another, we've been, and I keep using the word blessed. I don't have another word for it, Todd.
Well, I'll run with that because I know you know. And I'm not sure the listeners do. And I'd like to think I've conveyed it. How blessed I am to be doing what I'm doing. Some people, I'm going to put some stuff out there a little raw. Does it suck that I'm away from my family? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah. It sucks. You had enough before.
But do not confuse that with I am being blessed to do what I am doing. And
you have the ability to make that call.
I'm blessed to be doing it with who I'm doing it with. What I was doing today with the people I was doing it today, and I'm capping my day off. Again, I got up at 3:45 this morning. It's not a martyr thing. It's my routine. I do my old man maintenance in the morning, to try to keep myself, to do some physical stuff to make up for all my bad habits. Dave offline, I'll tell you what I do in the morning, and I think you better take an Imodium AD because you'll probably mess yourself otherwise. So I'm sitting there and I'm doing this stuff, but I am blessed to do what I do. Is the nut, you know, the bottom line, the nutshell, the people I'm doing it with, the caliber, you know, I'm sitting there. I try to make my end of week walks, and with the holiday and the Liberal League policy for Friday, a lot of my stakeholders, teammates is the way I view them, are not going to be here Friday. So I made sure I tried to take a little time to get down there and get with them. You know, like I went down, I hit one of them. I got a guy, he's like, dude, I hear you talk about fishing and stuff. Has it changed down since you've been here? You know that I got a pond on my property. I need to get you to come out there and go fishing. I go, I ain't got a license. He goes, it's my property. You don't need one. I work with people like that, dude. That's freaking serious. So I tried to do the safety brief today. I want to give some love to my teammates with and we're not far from
make that our plug time because we're getting like 7 minutes out.
We don't do it exactly. I'm working that into it here. So we're having a morning meeting. We got a bunch of taskers in late last night. I sit there, I get them out. My people got to do them, those kinds of things. And so at the end of the meeting, I'm like, okay, we're going to do a little bit of cute safety brief because a ton of us are former military. We had the normal safety briefs on the holidays, that kind of crap. So I was like, we're going to do our safety brief. And I touched on it a little bit earlier, so I was going, okay, first of all, I don't want any of you to be, none of us need to be, I don't need any of you to be, none of us need to be the one saying, hey, y'all, watch this, hold my beer. So my boy, Greg, and I'm going to use Greg's first name here, not his full name, Greg goes, that's not going to be me, I'm not going to let anybody else hold my beer. So I'm being undermined right off the bat with friggin' great humor. Greg is awesome. Great is spectacular. I can't say enough nice things about Greg. So Greg chimes in right off the bat with that one. And I'm like, thanks, Greg. We're going to go on to the next part, you know. I'm like, okay, so if you hear somebody say, hey, y'all, watch this, hold my beer, you have two options. Take control of the situation or run like hells and leave no evidence that you were there. And Greg immediately chimes back in. He goes, no, there's a third option. Take video. You can send it into that TV show and make money.
That's awesome.
These outstanding professionals I work with. And again, so combination plug and combination absolute evidence that I am blessed to work with the people I stink and work with.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have no idea the stuff that I have mission-wise worn Greg's ass out with this week. Because I have been, my job is going down there. You guys got to deliver. Bottom line. Deliver. I want it all and I want it now. That's what my job is. But man,
absolutely,
the fact that this cat can deal with my demands day in, day out, and throw this stuff out in a meeting is spectacular. It just speaks about the type of people I work with. And to go back to what you referenced earlier, in this country, it's only happening because we're here, our theme tonight. It's here because we're in our country that I can do what I'm doing, work with these type of people, and have the blessings that I have.
That is
the absolute stinking truth, because right there, that is my pretty little bow to tie all this crap together for the tonight.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And it is. It's a blessing. My plug for this evening. This afternoon, I took a bag full of vegetables over to the Sergeant Major's house. Took the last peach that I had on my tree. I'm waiting for new blossoms, hopefully, on my peach tree. You know how hard it is to grow peaches in North Carolina, especially coastal, but nevertheless, I've grown them. I took a bag of produce that I've grown here in my backyard that I'm staring at right now in the darkness, and some rather impressive, produce, nevertheless, over to the Sergeant Major and Mom. And, speaking on it now, I stop and think that I own property that belongs to me. There's a chunk of this planet that's Dave's, okay? And Dave walked away from a $70,000 a year job because he just couldn't do it anymore, all right? Dave, thank you, British lady. I went out here one day and raked up the yard and turned the yard up and made a raised garden and put the dirt down, planted what I wanted to plant, and am currently growing what I want to grow, all right, and distribute exactly what I want to distribute, okay? And the only reason why I'm able to do that is because what happened 200 some odd years ago during the American Revolution. And had it not been for the brave gentlemen and ladies who went out there and did what they did, I would have never had this. I would have never had the opportunity to be proud of my son. He'd already been mandated on what he was going to be at birth. And in the end, getting up on time, probably going to get cut off. God bless this country. And God bless us all. And in the event that you hate it here and you think it's so busted, get the hell out. Because we've got a good thing here and you need to appreciate it. So that being said, God bless you, Ted, or Todd. God bless America.
Big hugs, everybody.
Bye,
God. Big hugs, everybody. Dave, way to rock the show, brother. Way to rock the show. Hey, Dave, call me after the show, Dave.
Will do. Hopefully we haven't got cut off. I am heading towards the computer right now before that British lady, again, the British lady, cuts us off. And I will indeed oblige you with a call. But
thank you, sir.
Before we turn loose, everybody on Comic-Con, or better yet, Pop Culture Stars.
Pop Culture Stars.
Have a wonderful evening. Happy birthday, America. God bless. And we will talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.
Be safe. Big hugs, everyone.